need a good leader. Anybody ever had a bad leader? I've been asked before to take leadership of something and I didn't want it. And then I regretted that I didn't take leadership. Anybody ever been there? Because the person that did take it, he was the one that wasn't smart enough to not take it, right? John Maxwell said, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. We have to be very careful with who we allow to influence our lives. Who's influencing you? Who is speaking into your life about the major issues, the big things especially? Do you have somebody that is willing to tell you the truth even if it hurts them? A lot of people have ideas of what you should be doing with your life. Should they be the ones that influence you? That's the question. Just because somebody is trying to speak into your life doesn't mean you need to let them. One of the greatest examples of this, we were doing a big outreach at the church we were at in Oklahoma City, and we were expecting thousands of people to show up. We had sent out like 25,000 invitations to this event and into the communities. We had had billboards, the whole nine yards. We were expecting a lot of people to show up, and we hadn't done this before. And one of my guys, one of the older guys in the church, he was one of the leaders in the church, he walked up to me and he said, you mean to tell me you want us to put this sign from there over to here? I don't understand. That's going to be hard. I said, well, there's ladders. He said, man, no. Why don't we just put it down here from there to there? I said, because we need it to be where people can see it. I don't think you understand what we're about to have here. No. That's going to be too hard, John. Why don't we just put it from there to there? It's going to be a lot easier. People coming in, people driving up, they'll be able to see the sign. I said, trust me. About 3 hours later, he walked up to me and he goes, good grief, I will never question you again about this. Because the sign needed to be up there where people could walk under it. Be careful who has an opinion in your life and make sure that you're listening to the people that you should be listening to. Everybody's got an opinion on your life, don't they? Who's influencing you? And as much as we want to stay on the right path, as much as we want to be on the right path and want to do good, without a good leader, we struggle. Without somebody pointing us in the right direction, we struggle. We like to believe we have good intentions. We like to believe we have a good heart. But what does the scripture say about our hearts? Our heart is deceitful above all things. My heart will trick me every time. My heart tells me that I'm good. My heart tells me that, hey, if I think it, it must be a good idea. But I have to run those things by other people. We have to be careful because we're blind to our own pride. I can't see my own pride. Others can see it pretty quickly. We're blind to our flesh working behind the scenes to get what it wants. Well, in the book of Exodus, there's a story that I want to share with you today, and there are many stories about the Israelites. They were constantly testing God and God's leadership in their lives. And this story is basically after God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses. Well, you remember the story. Moses went up onto the mountain to meet with God, and while he's up there, God writes the Ten Commandments down on some tablets. Well, he stayed there for 40 days, and during that 40-day period of time, the Israelites were down there. Moses is up on the mountain, and God began to teach Moses a bunch of leadership principles throughout that period of time, and a lot of that he wrote down for us to read to this day. But while he was gone, Aaron was in charge of the camp. Aaron wasn't the strong leader the people needed. Aaron had lost his passion for God. The people ganged up on Aaron and they said, hey, listen, Moses isn't coming back. He walked up there. He's not coming back. Who knows what happened to him? He probably got ate or something. Make us gods who will lead us. That's what they asked for. Make us gods who will lead us. Well, Aaron didn't fight them. After all he had seen God do to bring them out of Egypt and to protect them and provide for them, Aaron was more afraid of the people than he was afraid of God. He gave them what they wanted, not what they needed. Aaron had the people take off their gold earrings and bring all their gold, and they brought it in, and you can imagine this big pile of gold. They melted it down and they made it into a golden calf. Suddenly, there was peace in the camp. People loved it. The people rejoiced. We've got a golden calf. And they started singing and dancing around this golden calf that they made. All is well that ends well, right? Hey, if it made the people happy, it must have been a good thing. Way to go, Aaron. You made the people happy. Look, they're dancing, they're singing. There's unity in the camp. It's not well. He gave them what they wanted, not what they needed. Good leaders give the people what they need, not always what they want. Good parents give their kids what they need, not always what they want. Isn't it interesting, though, also that the people were willing to give all of that gold to something so wrong? Why would people do that? If Moses had stood there before them, and he said, hey, guys, let's bring all of our gold to the house of the Lord today. I wonder how much gold he would have gotten for that. But the people were very willing to bring all of their gold to make this golden calf. It's a problem when people don't want to give to what's needed, isn't it? You see, you need to identify the Moseses and Aarons in your life. You need to identify the Moseses and the Aarons in your life. The Moseses in your life will continually point you in the right direction. But the Aarons in your life will give in to the golden calf. And they'll say, oh, it's okay, go ahead, go after it, it's all right. Just do what you want, eat what you want, go where you want to go, do what you want to do, that's fine. I just want you to have peace. Moseses in your life are more concerned with where you are going than where you've been or even where you are right now. They're concerned about the direction you're headed in your life. But the Aarons in your life, they just want you to feel good for the moment. They don't care where you're going. They just want you to be at peace. Why? Because they don't want to hear you. Moseses are going to have your back when the times are tough and down. Moseses are going to have your back, even if it's your fault. Aarons will throw you under the bus quickly. Moseses will tell you the truth in love, but sternly enough that you know what you need to know. But the Aarons in your life, they're going to cater and pander to you. They're going to dance around the truth. Your home needs a good leader. Our homes need good leaders. The home without leadership has no clear direction. Everyone is doing their own thing. Nobody feels a part. No one knows what their part is. Kids don't know where they fit in. They don't have devotions. There's no scheduled time together. There's no prayer time together. Family meals don't happen like they should. In a home without leadership, the parents often feel like their responsibility is just to provide a carefree space for their kids to grow up in. You know what a carefree space is? A carefree space means no one cares. It's free from care. You've got to care. You've got to put your heart into it. No one cares to set standards. There's no one that cleans. There's nobody that takes care of things. There's no one that shows up. There's no one that shows up for the hard-to-cook meals that are on the table. There's no plan for fun. Nobody cared to plan for it. There's no one there to teach about God and what God's plan and purpose is in our lives. No one cares enough to grow relationships and to teach them how to deal with conflict. No one cares how to set boundaries in the relationships and to keep boundaries in the relationships. I was talking to a man that was so frustrated with his family. They had let his wife's daughter and her husband, son-in-law, come into the home with the grandkids, with their kids, and live in their home. Y'all are shaking your heads like, oh no, we know where this is headed. And it's worse than that. His wife is very protective of her daughter. And so this husband has no opportunity to speak into their lives. He has no opportunity to set boundaries. And anytime he did, it would cause problems with his wife and his marriage. The house was a mess. Nobody was cleaning it. It was in the middle of summer. The kids weren't closing the door when they'd come in and out, so the electric bill was spiking. He was pulling his hair out, trying to figure out how to even just pay the bills. Nobody was monitoring what the kids were eating, and they were just eating everything that they wanted anytime, so all the snacks and food was gone all the time. And the son-in-law, well, he was looking for work. And this guy was a retired military guy. Everything in his office was pristine and clean and in place. Everything had its place. Everything was in order. Everything had a purpose for where it was and what it was accomplishing and what it was doing. There isn't, you look at the guy, his not one hair out of place on his head. His shirts were always nicely pressed, and he was a great employee. He was great at his job, but his home was a wreck. There was no leadership. No one was leading. And his stepdaughter and son-in-law, it wasn't that they were trying to mess up their lives. It was that they were not trying to not mess up their lives. They weren't trying to not mess up their lives. You see, by default, our lives are going to get messy. That means entropy happens in our lives. And unless you intentionally build your life, and unless you intentionally decide, this is where I'm going to go, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, unless you're intentional with your life, it's going to accidentally always fall apart. I tell my kids this all the time. Accidents happen, right? But only good things happen intentionally. Only good things happen intentionally. Accidents happen without you even paying attention. In fact, that's probably the reason the accident happened. But only good things happen intentionally. Have you noticed how when a house gets empty in your neighborhood? We had a house in our neighborhood that went empty, and I mean within just a couple of months, it was like, my goodness, what happened to that place? These weeds started growing. I mean, just went from a beautiful lawn to horrible. Paint started peeling. You could tell it was like the house was sad. There was nobody to live in it. That's one thing when a house doesn't have somebody living in it to become that. But it's another thing. It's really sad when a home looks that way and there are people living in it. No one leading. No one saying, hey, this is unacceptable. We need to take pride in our home. We need to be grateful for our home. There's the same thing is true for our personal lives. Is there somebody living inside of you? Is his name Jesus? When he's living inside of you, it's going to show. People are going to see that you're taking care of yourself. You feel good about what God created you to be. When Jesus lives inside of you, I'm amazed at how beautiful this turned out. For those of you who weren't here when we first moved into this house, it was not well taken care of. But within a couple of weeks, we ended up with such a beautiful place compared to what we moved into. You guys took such great care of this. Beautiful, not just on the outside for people to drive by and see, but beautiful on the inside, where when you walk in, you have a warm, good feeling, you know? And I believe it's Christ as well. But you look and you see, these people love this place. We love this place. We take care of it. This is where we worship. We're grateful for our home. Why? Because Jesus is our leader. Amen? Back to our story. The Lord told Moses, he said, go down. So he's up on the mountain. He says, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. It's interesting. God calls these people Moses' people. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. So they're taking all that God had done for them and they're attributing his power and his deliverance to these false gods. God was so angry. Look at this. God was so angry. He said to Moses that he was going to destroy all of those people and he was going to start over. He said, Moses, then I will make you a great nation. God had promised years and years ago that he would make Abraham a great nation, right? That was God's promise. And so here he is. This is Moses' opportunity to take over that promise. He said, Moses, I'm just going to wipe them all out and I'm going to make you a great nation. So today, instead of having Israelites, we would have Mosenites. That would have changed history. But instead of accepting that and saying, yeah, make me powerful, make my descendants as many as the stars in the sky, God, Moses fought for the people. He reasoned with God. He reminded God that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and God listened to him. I wonder, maybe God was testing Moses. Maybe God was inspiring something inside of Moses to be the leader of these people. It was interesting. He said, these are your people, Moses. Instead of, these are my people that I've called you to serve. He said, Moses, these are your people. I want you to take ownership of them. Maybe God was letting Moses own the leadership of these people. And from the start of his journey, you know the story. Moses didn't even want to be a part of this. At the burning bush, when God was calling Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, Moses was like, no, God, no, 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 no. My life is so easy here. God, you know I stutter. I mean, he came up with all kinds of excuses to not let God use him. And God said, Moses, these are your people. What are you going to do with them? They're down there worshiping this golden calf, and it's horrible. Moses didn't want the responsibility before. Moses didn't want to deal with the complaints. He just wanted to enjoy his life. He didn't want to be a leader. He just wanted to enjoy his life, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. That was Moses. But his people needed a leader. They needed someone who would tell them the truth even when it hurt. Someone who would give them what they need, not what they wanted. Someone who would point them true north. Someone who would fight for them and with them to do what is right. These people were destroying their relationship with God. Moses had to take responsibility to bring them back to God and deal with it. Now listen, in your home, if you don't lead, who will? In your workplace, if people don't see a leader, somebody that's bringing Christ into this place, somebody who will stand firm when temptation comes, if you don't do that, who else will? In our church, if you and I don't do our part in our leadership responsibility to lead people to Christ and to help people grow in Christ, if you don't do it, who will? Who will? It takes people who care to keep things maintained and strong. It takes you. And let me say this. If you have leaders at work, they're trying to lead. They're trying to make good decisions. Honor them. Respect them. Thank God for them. Don't work against them. They probably won't get it all right. In fact, I can promise you that. But you can still honor them. You can still respect them and understand that, hey, this is the person that's in leadership. It's called respect. In your home, take responsibility. Don't let your teams come home anytime they want to at night. Why? Because if you do, they know you don't care. It's about caring. And let me say this. Don't give a voice to people who don't take responsibility. There are going to be a lot of people that know how to run your life, but they will not take any responsibility to help you do it. There are a lot of people that will help you run your business by telling you what to do, but they won't actually help you do it. They won't take responsibility. There are a lot of people that know what you should be doing, but they won't take on any responsibility to actually do it. Don't give them a voice. Joshua was with Moses, and as they came down the mountain, it says they were here, that they could hear the people. Get the picture. Joshua and Moses are coming down the mountain, and they could hear the people. They were singing, dancing. You can imagine the sickening feeling that Moses had in his gut. It sounded happy. It sounded like things were going great. It sounded like someone had made the people happy and good leadership. But he knew as they were coming down that mountain and it got louder and louder, oh man, they're dancing around that golden calf. This is not good. And Moses had those stone tablets with him that God himself had written on. And he was so angry that he threw them down and they crashed to the ground. He went down and he took the calf and he melted the calf. And after the gold cooled, he ground it into powder. This is how angry he was. You know how much it takes to grind gold into powder? He ground it into powder, and he went over, and he threw it into the water, and he said, "Now drink it." And he made the Israelites drink. I think the guy was mad. He then said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" Moses is thinking, they had to have tied him up. They had to have held him at gunpoint. They had to threaten him. They had to, like, take his daughter or something and tell him they were going to kill her for him to give permission for them to do this. Something bad had happened. He was like, "Aaron, what did they do to you that you would do this?" And Aaron's response was, "Hey, man, you know how evil these people are." Aaron failed them. Why did Aaron fail? Aaron failed because he hadn't submitted his life to good leadership in his own life. He needed a good leader to be a good leader. You need a good leader to be a good leader. And his name is Jesus. It was obvious that Aaron had not really let God take leadership in his life. He didn't have the purpose that Moses had. He did, but he hadn't embraced it. He didn't have the clarity of mind and direction that Moses had. He did, but he didn't embrace it. You see, you won't be a good leader until you embrace the good leader. His name is Christ. Your life is going to be full of inconsistencies. It's not going to make sense. Your life is going to be full of struggling with purpose and direction in your life. You're going to struggle to find true north in your life until you find that good leader. And when you make God your leader, suddenly your future is clear. Your purpose for living comes into focus. When you say no to what God says no to and yes to what God says to, your life comes together. How many of you found that to be true? The golden calf was about being free from God's leadership. James David, would you come? Now let this sink in. The golden calf was about the people being free from God's leadership. There are certain things that God says no to. We don't like that. There are certain things that God wants us to do. Why? Why does he want us to do those things? Because he's a good leader. If God says to do something, that means it's going to be good for you to do it. If God says for you not to do something, that means it's going to be bad if you do it. It's simple as that. He's a good leader. And he's never going to sign off on something bad in your life. He's never going to do it. I remember one time I was visiting a guy. He started telling me about this new lady that he had met. He wanted the chaplain to sign off on the fact that he was going to divorce his wife so that he could have this lady. And he had all the reasons why this first wife needed to be ditched. and all the reasons why this new one was all the answers to the best things in his life. And the longer he talked, the more that he realized, as I just stood there staring at him, didn't nod, didn't shake my head no, didn't shake my head yes, I just stared. He could hear his own voice. This is not a good idea. What I find interesting is how quickly the people were to give all their gold over to this calf. How much of your time, how much of your money, how much of your energy goes to having freedom to do things apart from God? If you want your life to be together, stay together, and your people to live together, you need a good leader. His name is Jesus. The Israelites, he had led them out into the wilderness. There were times that they just couldn't believe where he had led them to. He had parted the Red Sea. He'd crossed it. Then they're like, where do we go? There's no water here. We've got 2 million people here. Where's our leader? There was a time that they were so mad at Moses that God had to give him over to Aaron for a bit, because they were going to kill Moses. That bad. There are going to be times in your life that it doesn't make sense what God is doing. There are going to be times that you don't understand. But I can promise you this, he's always the good leader. And I can promise you this, that if you'll trust him, in the end, it will all make sense. But you got to trust him. By your head. Have you made Jesus your leader? Have you invited him into your life? Have you made him your Lord and your Savior? That means, have you said, God, I'm going to get to know you and what you like and don't like, and I want to try to understand you. Today I firmly decide I want you to be the leader of my life for the rest of my life. I want you to help me to understand who you are. And I need you, God, to help me to be free from the things of this world that are destroying my life. And I give it to you. I lay it up to you. I ask you, God, for deliverance in my life. And I ask you, God, to heal me and bring peace. Fill me with your presence. Oh, Jesus, come in and live inside me. Make me whole and make me pure. I want you in my life. I need you, God. I need you to lead me, guide me into all truth. Show me your will and show me your way. In Jesus' name, I turn my life over to you, God.